Hey, everybody, welcome back to Movie Chatter. It's been a few weeks, but we are back and we have a great movie to cover for you tonight. Or do we? We're going to find out. I'm Eric.
Spoilers.
I'm here with Robin and Lou. But Robin, is it really a spoiler if we talk about what we think of the movie? And that's kind of why we're here.
Before we start the show.
So it's like, is watching the movie spoiling the movie?
I don't know. You said Lou was blurry, so now, you know, I'm
visually
all
too.
Disigled.
Yes. Lou, how are you doing?
Blurry, I guess.
In more ways than one.
Oh, that's better, Lou. That's better. Whatever you did, that's better.
That's better.
I just see you zooming in and out. It's like
yeah,
you're in 3D. It's like you're really there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh.
No fake Lou's here. Yeah, as you can tell, it's been a while. We're a little punchy tonight.
We're just happy
to be here. I don't even care what movie we cover. I feel like I haven't recorded anything in so long now that I don't want to get out like all sappy and everything, but I almost miss you guys.
Almost
being the key word there.
It's like a rom-com without the rom.
Or without the com.
Right there.
Or without the com.
Pretty much.
Oh, no, the com. Without the com.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Lou, can you do me a favor? Can you throw the link into Discord so the people know that we are streaming?
Sure.
And we still need to set up the Discord link on randomchatter.com. So Random Chatter does not have its own Discord server anymore, but we do hang out in a Discord server and have most of the Random Chatter community there. And I'd say most of the staff. So we will put up a link to that. Maybe we'll throw it in the show notes later on. We've just got to set up the redirect there on the site. Anyway, let's get into this. Tonight, we are discussing The Hitman's Bodyguard, a movie I almost watched shortly after it came out. And then people said, nah, it wasn't really that good. So like an idiot, I believed them and I did not watch it. Despite it having Samuel L. Jackson and most importantly, Deadpool himself, Ryan Reynolds.
I believed them. Did not watch it.
So, I heard my echo somewhere. That was disturbing.
I was trying to get the link and my sound was on my regular speakers.
I don't want to hear my voice. That's why I do me, so that I don't have to listen to me, Lou.
Movie chatter is not a subgenre. There is no time loop in movie chatter.
There was
it's
a second
not
ago.
A subgenre. So what would be a subgenre, Robin?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but just so you were just saying though, what would be? Since that's not
I'm just
counterpoint.
Saying.
We're gonna get her at some point, Lou.
Yeah.
No. We never will.
All right, so I just watched The Hitman's Bodyguard for the first time recently, and I'm a little disappointed in the people that recommended that it wasn't all that great. And I have gone around.
Way to go with the double negatives.
One by one, and bonked them on the head. So that won't be my worst offense tonight, Robin. I assure you.
Okay.
It'll get worse. So, Robin, what did you think of The Hitman's Bodyguard? And did you see it when it came out, or did you see it later? When did you watch?
I saw it a while ago. You know, 2017 is like in dog years a million.
Feels that way.
I watched it a while ago. I've watched it. I will watch it anytime I even get a glimpse that it's on television. I'll put it in the DVR. And
wow.
Watch it.
Someone's a fan.
I'll go watch it right now.
She's going to leave us.
Yeah. I kind of like this movie. Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, if you're going to leave us for, who wouldn't leave us for Ryan Reynolds, Lou? I mean, really.
True.
I would
true.
Leave you for Samuel L. too.
Well,
I'd leave my husband for
your
Samuel
husband
L,
would leave your husband for Samuel L. Story.
My husband would leave my husband would leave me for Samuel L. Yes.
Lou, what did you think of this movie?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I don't think it was the funniest thing either one of them have done, but you know, it wasn't their best work, but it was good. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it before. I watched it just for this show.
Either. Yeah.
So and it was very entertaining.
So Robin Good job. See, this is what happens when you recommend non-musicals.
Oh,
I would call this a success, right, Lou?
There is music in it.
Yeah, yeah, I would.
Having music in it does not make it a musical. We've been over that before. Just saying, having Christmas appear in Die Hard does not make it a Christmas film. Just saying, you know. So, let's talk a little bit about the movie. So it's kind of one of these buddy movies that's not really a buddy movie,
right? Yeah.
And go ahead, Robin.
Yeah. All right. No, it is not a buddy movie in that yet. We don't know what the next one is going to bring.
Not that they're buddies, but it's got that formula.
Yeah, it's got that formula. The formula. They're colleagues, yeah. Co-workers, if you will.
Competitors.
Competitors. Yeah.
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 But the formula is very much kind of the buddy movie. You've got the two kind of getting through to a common goal, and yet they're both at odds with each other because they can't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what made you recommend this movie? Of all the different things we've been watching recently, Robin, what made you recommend this one?
It's easy to watch. It carries you through the movie without any huge gaping holes. Mm-hmm. I like the witty banter. I need that, you know, I need that stimulation these days, right? Because you know, everything's getting kind of heavy and weird again. Mm-hmm. And so I like being able to, you know, sit on the couch and be carried away with a movie that doesn't take me to a very serious place. And it's not slapstick funny, which sometimes annoys me. It's I found it very witty.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the whatever the relationship pieces of it were well suited to the characters and didn't weigh the movie down.
Okay. I would agree with that. It was not slapsticky. The comedy worked really well, and it was very much relational comedy, which
mm-hmm.
when you look at, and it was perfectly suited for these two people as well. We're going to talk a little bit about what the movie is in a minute, but when you've got Samuel L. Jackson, who's one of those actors that he's always him, and normally that doesn't work for me. With mm-hmm. him, I'm okay with it. But, you know, I keep saying he's in Phantom Menace and it's, you know, Yoda and Ki-Adi Mundi and Obi-Wan and Samuel L. Jackson. Like, it's not Mace Windu. It's Samuel L. Jackson. Everything he is in.
Right.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's never an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in which he's the character. He's always Arnold. So, but it works here. And Ryan Reynolds, we've talked before. I've seen stuff that Ryan Reynolds has done where he's got such a broad scope. People really have no idea. But he's kind of been typecast as this Deadpool type of comedic yeah. character. And so that's kind of what he's doing in this movie. And when you get those two, they don't blend well, which is what makes this movie so great, I think. So the premise of the movie, basically, is you got Ryan Reynolds, who plays a professional bodyguard, like a celebrity corporate executive bodyguard, like really high profile customers. Mm-hmm. You have Samuel L. Jackson, who plays an assassin, who is mm-hmm. also the sole witness that can bring down this.
Gary
dictator.
Oldman. Yeah. Dictator. Yep.
And so Ryan, through a string of different events, Ryan Reynolds ends up becoming the bodyguard who has to protect this assassin. And then it turns out they've got a little bit of a history together too. So it doesn't go well. So that's kind of the premise of the movie. It's a very simple mechanism. And there are points at which the plot is a little silly and over the top, but I thought this kind of worked. And the funny thing is, one of the most over-the-top scenes, which typically would bug me, there's a shootout going on, and Ryan Reynolds is sitting there at, like, I don't know, a drink stand or a coffee stand or something, just like going off on this rant while like all of this destruction's happening right behind him. And he doesn't care. And he's going off about Jackson's character. And I hate when characters break the fourth wall like this, but he's talking about, you know, he even ruins the word mother effer. Like, do you understand how difficult it is to do that? Which is just perfect. That is the most flawless way to break the fourth wall. I loved that.
Yeah, but I, you know what? I don't know much about what this director's done, Patrick Hughes.
That's a good question.
But, I mean, he's done The Expendables 3. I haven't seen it.
I don't know if I have.
But, and then The Hitman's Bodyguard, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, which is either out
coming
or
out.
Coming out very shortly.
The trailer released 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Three or four weeks ago. Yeah. It's not out yet.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of his filmography, you know, not much. But
almost
he's
nothing.
For
this
particular kind of movie, yeah. I really like the way it was directed.
Yeah. The writer too, Tom O'Connor. Not much more. 4 writing credits. This, the sequel, The Courier, and Fire with Fire. Yeah, so these guys are relative unknowns.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought the directing was good. Like, the way the shots were set up and established worked really well. The action scenes were definitely action-oriented, but they focused on the characters. And that's something we've talked about before with action movies. It drove the character development, and it drove the humor because it was about the relationship between these two characters and how they each uniquely dealt with the action scenes.
Mm-hmm. And Gary Oldman was really brilliant in this as the bad guy.
Gary Oldman's,
I mean,
always
he's a good bad
brilliant.
Yeah, he's always a good bad guy. He really
is. He's a great bad guy. Yeah. Like, but if I were to cast a movie, I want Gary Oldman to be the bad guy.
He just didn't have much of a role in this movie, though, really. I mean, he was there, but very much supporting, you know, really low level supporting actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but.
But still memorable.
Mm hmm.
When they finally do a movie of my life, I want Gary Oldman,
Kenneth
to
Branagh.
Play me. I mean, he'll be long past by then, and even his ghost wouldn't be interested. But still,
what about Kenneth
Branagh? Oh, he definitely
it
wouldn't
was
be
Kenneth
interested.
Branagh, I'd come see it.
So, Lou.
Yes.
Is this movie any different from other similar types of action movies? Is this something you would recommend to people? And if so, why? Like, if there's anything about this movie that stood out, what stood out about it to you?
See, I mean, this to me is an evolution from action movies of, you know, the 80s, 90s, and in 2000s, and now now the 2010s. You know, as you move forward, the comedy in these kind of action movies changes, right? Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, 90s had a certain, you know, way they handled comedy. And you look back at it now and you're like, oh, God,
right.
You know. But and you go forward into now. And I think this is a perfect example of a good way to do comedy in an action movie, at least for today. We may find this unpalatable in 10 years. But, you know, I think of today's movies that do comedy with an action sequence, this has done a really good job. And I think we have fewer of those than we had in, you know, recent decades. So I think this kind of stands out because it does something that most movies aren't doing these days.
I would say a lot of movies like this that are made these days that try to inject comedy into it often fail.
Yeah, and that's one reason why I think they've kind of gotten away from that.
Right.
We don't see that as much as we used to. But you know, you do it like this and, you know, we'll compare it to Deadpool because, you know, it's the same actor, but, you know, these two movies do it well because the comedy is funny and it's not taking things politically correct and it's off the cuff and it feels natural. It feels like the way, you know, I would talk if I was with friends,
right.
You know, type thing. Not that I'm anywhere near that funny, but,
no.
You know, it has that same kind of feel. It feels very natural.
Right.
Right.
Doesn't feel... It doesn't feel like it was
and
forced.
And that's the thing, even though all of the events going on around the characters were very over the top and as action scenes often are, just kind of silly, the interactions between the characters never were, like you said.
Right.
And I think that makes a big difference. I can tolerate a lot of over the topness and kind of Michael Bay-ishness to action scenes if the characters are grounded. If they're relatable, if they're funny, if they make sense, if they're believable, I can forgive all the rest of this stuff. And I think that's probably the biggest strength of this film, and probably because of the two cast members. And I have to say, you know, we talked about the fact that the director hasn't done much, the writer hasn't done much. When you put those two people in a room together, I imagine, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is notorious for being able to ad-lib his own dialogue. And the two of them, I mean, how much direction do you really, not that the director didn't do a good job. I think, again, the way the shots were set up and everything, he did well. But, I mean,
but
you throw the two of them in a room and you shake it up and you empty it out and whatever rolls out is going to be awesome.
But this is a nice example of a nicely layered sort of movie, right? So you've got... A director who, you know, we obviously don't know a lot about, but knows how to direct. He's got a style. You've got two amazing stars with a really nice supporting cast. You have decent writing. You have a wonderful soundtrack. And, you know, so it's nicely textured. It's nicely layered. You know, some of the action scenes were, yeah, sort of unbelievable. But beyond that, I gotta say kudos to whoever hired the directing team.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot to complain about with this. Some of the writing was a little, and the Selma Hayek stuff, honestly, I felt all the scenes between her and Samuel Jackson were a little bit forced, and I kind of blame a combination of the writing and then maybe them overacting it a little bit.
Well, I'm not a big fan of hers, so I put it off to me not being a big fan of hers.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more than that.
My
though.
Wife loved some of the, at least one of the lines about her wanting to be a good mother type thing. And, you know, and then we get that same line in the trailer for the sequel, and she's like, oh my God, I can't wait, you know, because she thought that was hysterical.
Yeah.
When she went through that.
I don't know. There were some moments with her that worked, but I think that there were too many. And again, especially when it was her and Jackson combined, that it just felt like that's when the character stuff felt silly for me. Everything else was fine, but those were the moments.
Well, that was definitely over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, that was definitely between the two. You know, like the whole was the sequence where he first met her.
Yeah, the bar fight.
In that bar. It was like, I mean, that was meant to be over the top. It was like, you're looking at it like, right. This is just so unbelievable, but okay, it works, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but did it really?
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that I can't picture Sam Jackson in a romantic scene.
Well, there's that too. No offense.
Yeah, that kind of ruined it for me. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, Sam. But you know,
poor
yeah.
Sam.
Poor guy. I feel so bad for him. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Such a hard time getting women.
How much money?
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to discuss about this film. I don't think it pretty much just it is what it is. It's really good. I'm a little disappointed, like I said before, that I didn't catch it sooner, but I'm glad I did now. And I would say I'd recommend it to people. And it sounds like, I mean, obviously Absolutely. You recommended it, Robin. So that's a yes from you, right?
Big yes. Okay. Yep.
And Lou, yeah, people should watch this.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And you're looking forward to the sequel, I assume?
Yeah, cautiously, I guess. I mean, sequels sometimes don't always pan out well for comedies that are, you know, action comedies, but we'll see.
My concern.
Well, here's.
Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we're about to say
well,
the same thing.
Here's my concern. Yeah, my concern is if it's all about her, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I can see the dynamic between Reynolds and Jackson, and that worked really well. The interactions between Reynolds and Hayek might work. But I feel like, see, in this first movie, who was on top? Like, who was the better of the two, the more competent, the more skilled? Because every time the movie kind of tossed it over to Jackson, Reynolds turns around and it's like, yeah, no, see, there's this. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, Reynolds is right. But then later, Jackson's like, dude, just kick the door in. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, he's right. So the whole movie kind of keeps you at odds as far as, like, you can't, unless you have a favorite actor, you can't really decide who between the two is really the one who's, quote, right. But in the sequel, I kind of imagine it's going to be Hayek doing all of, like, the cool, awesome-y stuff, and Reynolds kind of, like, trying to keep up with her. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's the whole, he's trying to go straight. He's trying to quit. He's kind of retired. It's the whole Murtaugh and what's his face from Lethal Weapon, right?
Yeah. Riggs.
Yeah. So it's that whole thing again. And I kind of feel like it's like you said, Robin, it's going to be all about her. And then Reynolds is going to be just kind of the guy who's constantly trying to keep up. No, no, wait, no, don't open that door. Oh, you opened the door. Okay. Now I have to go in. It's going to be that through the whole thing. I don't know that it's going to work.
As I read the storyline for this sequel, it's actually veering towards a buddy movie, which might save it in maybe my eyes.
It could work.
So fingers crossed. Fingers
Lou,
crossed.
I think you said it best. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic. But, you know, am I going to run out opening night and see it? I don't know. Probably not.
Well, Morgan Freeman is in it.
Morgan Freeman's been in a lot of stuff, and that doesn't automatically. Morgan Freeman was in South Park, Robin. If you'd like the episode numbers, I can get them to you.
No, I'm just saying Morgan Freeman's in it.
He was in Evan Almighty. He was in a Doritos commercial as Missy Elliott. Oh, no, it was Mountain Dew. Peter Dinklage was the Doritos, which was the better of the two halves of the commercial. It's kind of like one of those two, like, versus commercials where, anyway. Yeah, Morgan Freeman's in it, but that's not enough. He's done enough movies now as, like, bit parts that, you know.
Just saying.
It's like when Sean Connery shows up at the end of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, that's not enough to make Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves a wonderful movie, is it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it'd have been better if...
Because we can break that one down for you if you want, Robin.
It would have been better if Kenneth Branagh showed up.
If Kenneth Branagh had shown up for those last few seconds of the movie...
Or
if Robin Williams himself had shown up for the last few seconds of that movie, it could not have saved that whole movie.
Theron.
And I don't even hate the movie. So Morgan Freeman being in the sequel, yay, you know, right? But not enough to, if the movie sucks, it's not enough.
Depends on how big of a role he has.
Yeah, well,
right?
There's that too. Now,
what about Lily James?
Here's what killed the Lily James thing for me. Did you see the pictures of her as Pamela Anderson?
Yeah.
Somebody should be put in jail.
Oh, I have.
That is a travesty. You don't take Lily James and dress her up as Pamela Anderson. That should never be done. It's Lily James. It's you don't do that to her. I know, right?
Wow. Someone sullied Lily James. Yes. For Eric.
See, she saw the pics.
No, I didn't. Oh. Not yet.
I mean, she looks a lot like Pamela Anderson, but then that makes it all the more tragic. Like, if she didn't succeed well at looking like Pamela Anderson, it would bother me less.
So they did a good job making her look like
Pamela Anderson. They did an accurate job of making her look like Pamela Anderson. Big difference, Robin.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Big difference.
I was also very disturbed by Sebastian Stan as
Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, he did that well too. Lee, yeah.
It's scary. It's creepy. It's like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch it.
And I'll watch it because I'm a big Crew fan. So we'll see.
But, yeah. You know,
I don't expect anything.
I'll watch it too, in part, because then it will make whatever her next project is absolutely amazing, because it will restore my faith in humanity that Lily James is Lily James again. And yeah.
You don't have to watch the movie, Eric.
It's a miniseries, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is?
Like, I have to watch all of them. How did we get off on this rabbit hole?
Because Robin mentioned Lily James, just like
that was silly of her. As many times as she mentioned Kenneth Branagh, and what's your girlfriend's name again?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
The same.
You had to bring up Lily James. Anyway, that's going to do it, I think, for this episode of Movie Chatter. What are we going to cover next?
Well, you guys told me.
Well, we had a suggestion, but I mean, you get input too, Robin.
You suggested it and voted in the same breath. Boys against the
girl.
Yeah,
and then you said, what?
Pretty much.
What did you vote? Yeah. I said, well, you're already outvoted now, but I guess we can tell you. Vote faster.
That's fine. I'll watch it.
Do you not want to watch it? Have you seen it?
I've not seen it, so I'm
okay.
Game.
So here's what we suggested for next week. This is one I've wanted to cover for a while because, being a sci-fi fan, I kind of wanted to cover the whole the theme of playing God with science. We've got a number of different things, whether it's, I mean, going back to things like Jurassic Park and The Fly, which I still argue is Jeff Goldblum's best movie, to more recent things with artificial intelligence and such. But there was a movie that came out that kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people. It came out right around the time The Force Awakens did, and it stars two of the actors from Force Awakens. It's called Ex Machina. It stars Oscar Isaac and Donald Gleason and Alicia Vikander. And that's what we're going to cover next week. It's just really just the three actors. And there's at least one other actor in it as well. But it's basically those three carrying the whole movie. And it's the idea is Oscar Isaac is this Mark Zuckerberg-like figure, kind of a cross between Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs, maybe. And he invites one of his employees, Donald Gleason, to come out to his, what would you call it, Lou? Secluded little mansion, not mansion.
Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, I was going to say cabin in the woods, but it was a different
story. Yeah, very different story. And not so much a cabin. I mean,
modern, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a high-tech, modern.
It's like calling a cruise ship a tugboat. Mansion. Yeah, it's nice, right?
Right, right.
And the idea is that he is providing, the employee that he invited out is responsible for conducting Turing tests with this artificial intelligence that he created. Turing test, of course, to be like, at what point can you not tell whether the AI is an AI or human?
Right, right.
Really good movie.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to cover next week on Movie Chatter. And Robin, if you hate it, that's fine. I will say this. If you hate it, you will hate it in such a way that it will make for an interesting conversation on the podcast.
That's good. It's time we covered something deep that's got some meat we can chew on.
I gotta say, it's hard because with the pandemic, you know, we launch Movie Chatter, we launch Trailer Breakdown, the pandemic hits, we have no movies and no trailers. Really? Come on. Come on, universe. So not like that's the biggest problem in the pandemic.
Chatter was going on long before the pandemic.
That's true. That's true. But like right when it hit its stride, then the pandemic happens. I don't know. Not that I'm bitter. But all right. So we're going to cover Ex Machina. And yeah, I think it's good to get back into some deeper things. And for our audience out there, if you have anything you would like to hear us cover on Movie Chatter, let us know. Send us an email. Leave comments here in the YouTube channel. However you want to get in touch with us, that's fine. But let us know what you would like to hear us discuss here on the show. We would be happy to watch it and either tear it apart or rave about it or fight amongst ourselves.
Did anybody ever come up with what a decent rom-com would be for Robin to watch?
We have several times, but you're insistent that such a creature does not exist.
Just saying.
I mean, we could invite Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster into the room and have them come up with some ideas, but you'd believe they exist before a decent rom-com.
They do exist.
Rom-coms or the other two? That's a whole different discussion.
The other two.
Okay, well, if our audience members has any rom-com recommendations that you think Robin would like, we'll call that the rom-com challenge, and that's an open invitation.
There it is.
Anytime. There's no time limit on that one.
The rom-com challenge.
Yes, if you can come up with a rom-com that Robin will admit is a good film.
There it is.
She doesn't even have to like it. She just has to acknowledge that it's a good film.
Sure.
That's enough.
I'm game.
In the meantime, because we know that that's never going to happen. So send us your other movie recommendations as well. And we will cover them here on Movie Chatter. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for this week. Go watch Ex Machina. If you've seen it before, watch it again. Because what else are you going to do? Pandemic's still happening. Still got nothing to do for a few more months. Watch Ex Machina again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again myself.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in quite a while. So, but also go to randomchatter.com. Check out all of our other podcasts there. We have a lot of podcasts that we don't have here on YouTube. DC Talk, Cape Chronicles, The Type Beam, on and on and on. There's a bunch of things. Mike's Movie Minute that Tim thinks is false advertising because it's not actually a minute. It's like five minutes, but it's like you're getting five episodes for the price of one. I mean, come on, right? Anyway, go to randomchatter.com to check that out. For our YouTube videos, go to randomchatter.com/YouTube. We've got Random Chatter, Force Chatter, Movie Chatter. We will be bringing Trailer Breakdown back once they bring trailers back. So check those out. Normally Sunday nights and Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's GMT minus 4 at the moment. Thank you, Daylight Saving Time. And so check those out. We'll be streaming those live. And of course, you can check them out after the fact as well. And that's going to do it. So until next week, take care, everybody. We will see you again soon.